Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. We're going to be talking to you today about something that's, well, it's not just dealing with the mind, it's dealing with the body, and it's about kids. We're going to be talking with Lou Paradise today. We're going to be discussing how medications affect children. Ritalin, familiar with that term? I bet you are. And if you have children yourself and have known parents that are dealing with this type of situation, well, I think you're going to get an insight into perhaps how we should change our thinking relative to using drugs. What are the positives? What are the negatives? And what goes on in between? I want to welcome to the airwaves Lou Paradise. Hi, Lou. Welcome to the show.
Donna, thank you so very much. As always, it's a privilege and honor to be here contributing to the phenomenal audience that knows how selective you are about bringing important information to them and how that's changed people's lives. I want to thank you for your sterling contribution, all of those things and more. So good morning. Nice to be here.
Well, it's a delight, as always, Lou. I had sent you an email because you had graciously given me some samples of your product, Topperson. And when I was at the Ren Fair, I encountered some wonderful people, and they enjoyed their benefits. But one of the things that I will tell people about you and your company is that you are so dedicated to being able to educate people relative to empowering them so that they can have better health. We all have things that can happen to us that can cause pain and suffering. Surgery. I've had emails from some people that I know relative to physical challenges that they're going through. This is something that can hit any and all of us. But it was especially meaningful to me when you wanted to discuss kids today, because it is something that really is of concern to me and has been for a long time. I've done a number of interviews with physicians who have been very, very concerned about the use of drugs with children when it shouldn't be done. And when you said you wanted to talk about this today, I said, oh, wow, this is just really, really super. Let's get into the reason why it is important for you to be out there educating. I mean, this, you're a successful man. You have a very successful company. It's affecting the lives of millions of people in a very positive way. Why is education of different modalities relative to pharmaceuticals and wellness so important to you?
You know, I think the basic part of this that really resonates for me is that we know that knowledge really is not power unless it's well-informed, really good information that you can actually apply to your life. And very unfortunately, we have systems in our country that start to categorize people. Well, these people have, you know, an issue with cholesterol, or this person has a cardiology issue or a diabetic issue, and not that they're not real issues, but, and then the next question is, well, how do you treat that? This situation with children, I mean, why are children important? Well, starting with, they are the future of the whole planet Earth, thank you very much. Might be enough for us all to stop in our tracks. When we start to look at the fact that many parents, and God love them because they're trying to do the right thing with their child, are finding very difficult challenges where Johnny or Mary or whoever it may be is not concentrating at school, and there's a whole hyper kind of thing going on. Well, young children are hyper. I mean, goodness sakes. I remember when we were all younger kids, and they would call us, well, that little fireball is really going to town today.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we were all outside playing. We had recess. We all played, and we got that energy out of us. Then we were ready to come back to class and actually dig into the work. If you, you know, feed your children something that is going to be highly sugary, I mean, you feed them with all love and respect, I guess there's an appropriate time for Cocoa Pops and all, but if that's what you're feeding before they go to school, they get this gigantic high rush of sugar at 8 o'clock in the morning, then by the time 8:30 rolls around, they're lethargic and can't think straight, and they're not paying attention, and all the rest of the things. And so when we break down what's happened in our society, and of course the expedient thing, unfortunately, for a lot of families is that both mom and dad have to go to work. So what do you do if you don't, you know, do something to correct your child's behavior or try to keep them not sedated, but keep them focused on schoolwork so the teacher's not running all over the classroom with them, which we do understand is practical issues. Then the next step is what? Medicating them. There are so many fundamental things in nutrition, hydration, exercise, family time, things that kids are suppressing because they don't have enough time. I remember when we were kids, every day at 5 or 5:30, dinner would be served. We would not only just have dinner, we'd have time to catch up with the family. How many people have that anymore? How many people are, you know, and how many people that have children who are on Ritalin or other kinds of drugs are having those issues as well? I mean, to think of the fact that Ritalin is basically speed. And what happens, which is peculiar, is that a child will have a very different response than an adult. For instance, if you give a child an allergy medicine, you give them an antihistamine medicine, it'll usually make them more hyper, where an adult will get drowsy. So they found out I use speed. Could you imagine now a child's got hyperactivity? At least that's what they're accusing the poor baby of. And he's already in an excited state. So what do we give him? Ritalin and other drugs like that? We're giving them speed. For other adults, it will drive your adrenals crazy and you'd be dancing all over the street. For kids, it calms them down. And what does it do to them long term? Because no one had known any answer for that. So the education becomes one of great information sharing, not just what Lou knows, but what's out there in good consensus, you know, how we pull a lot of people together to be able to bring vital, let's see what we're really looking at. Let's drill down on what the real problem is. Are we dealing just with the symptom, or are we dealing with the cause? And then we have found great educational forums that have really great information that is a great consensus over very many different channels of thinkers and researchers and practical application of people who have just come up with a home remedy that's really starting to work. Putting that out there, providing us, I think the one thing that people have loved about us is that our products are incredible according to everybody who uses them, and I'm not reluctant to say that, but I think what really is our joy is having become a resource, educational resource for people, so they know they can come to a trusted source, really learn something where they're not being sold to. You're not going to have to buy anything in order to get the information from us, so you can change your life and change it for the better. So that's the reason why we do it. And if it isn't for our children, our nation's children are not second-class citizens, and they're not little adults. They're little people. And we need to understand how we really can help them. And every family who is doing some of the things that we've just described and giving their children medication, they don't want to do that. Most of them really don't want it. They would wish there was an alternative, and very unfortunately for them, nobody's given them that information, and it is out there. Plenty of information about how to actually do something naturally for your child, including some specific products that could be beneficial, especially in these cases where we can finally get our square one down. We can finally all learn something from each other. You know, instead of marketers marketing this nonsense to families about their children, and as you know, Donna, within the last year and a half or two, they've been marketing Ritalin and other drugs like that for adults. Michael Dell,
disgusting. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
from
disgusting.
Dell Computer said, "Of course I have ADD. If I didn't have ADD, I wouldn't be an entrepreneur."
You know, Lou, you bring out such so many good points, and one of the things I'd like to share is that in 2003, I believe it was, when I had started my show. I'd only been doing my show for a couple of years, and I was finding some fascinating material crossing my desk. some of this material was being published by physicians, and this was a particular facility in California.
Gotcha.
These two physicians in 2002, and they've since written other publications as well, were very concerned about the use of Ritalin. And they said, we need to get away from this, take a pill, and everything's going to be fine. We need to understand the working of the brain, the working of a child, and how it goes. And one of the stories that they shared, and it was very profound, they had a little boy. He was, I think, just about five. He was the kid from hell. Two very, very fine parents, this one doctor, he was called by a colleague who was a psychiatrist. The parents were beside themselves, just absolutely beside themselves, because this kid, as I said, was a kid from hell. He was destructive. These were nice people. They were very nice people, a mother and father that really were conscientious and caring. They took this less-than-five-year-old child to the psychiatrist, which is beyond me, but that's what they did. And he said, this is more than what I can deal with. Let me refer you to XYZ physician. So he did. And the kid comes into the doctor's office, and within, I think, 20 minutes, he totally trashed everything. It was unbelievable. And he just looked at the kid. He just watched him. So he has him in his office, and his secretary, I think her hair turned white within those 20 minutes. And he just said, I don't know what to do. And he interviewed the parents and talked to the parents. But he was watching this kid, and he said, I don't believe in the drugs. If you'll trust me with your child, let's see what we can do. So he told them about a program that he had developed along with an associate working with a computer. Now, one thing that he noticed, as soon as this child, less than 5 years of age, went over to that computer, he was totally focused on the computer.
Amazing.
So he said, we developed these programs and we put these sensors on this child's head. And of course, the kid thought it was cool. And they started working with the child, and in the research, because they had a way of examining the child's brain, what he told the parents is, what is happening has nothing to do with what's going on with you. You've got a brilliant child here, but a part of the brain has not been developed yet. And what we can do through these exercises with the computer, we'll be able to exercise a part of the brain because he's focused when he's on the computer. And you think about the kids today. Now, this was in 2002 or 3.
Right.
And so he does this, and within a three-month period, this kid from hell was marvelous. He was well-mannered, well-behaved. The parents said, it's a miracle. The doctor said, yes, because we have come to understand the technology, but it is really not a miracle. Too many children today, the very thing you brought out, we're not encouraging them to go out, climb trees, get dirty, you know, play the games that require imagination. Let them use their bodies, because every movement a child makes is sending messages to the brain.
Exactly.
So he was able to utilize the computer. This child just was wonderful. And the secretary said, if you would have told me that monster that had come into my office and had destroyed everything within 20 minutes, would turn into this wonderful child. It's amazing. So the work on the brain is just incredible. And I think what you're saying about nutrition, I think that all of this is very good. Now, you sent me information on an article that came out of the New York Times, and it was about raising the Ritalin generation.
Yeah.
How far back does this go, Lou? How far back has Ritalin been used to cover up, you know, deal with symptoms, not with reality?
You know, one of the things that we have in our research is that when we started to look at this, we realized that there was a the diagnostic part of it, and the first tier of people who doctors using it for children, pediatric patients, was somewhere around 2003. We get this whole long range look at the typical, you know, diagnosis, which kind of evaded a lot of folks. If, again, you know, the one thing, unfortunately, very unfortunate, we have fabulous medical people who are great at infectious disease and emergency medicine and trauma care. We have some of the best people on the planet Earth right here in the United States. But when a doctor is trained, and especially in pediatricians, when they're trained, 4 months in pharmaceuticals and maybe 4 hours in nutrition, it is a little difficult for them to make any assessment whatsoever on the natural things that are occurring on the nutritional side or the hydration side. And there would be, and of course, when you look at medical protocol and malpractice and who's going to sue you because you didn't give them the right meds or who's going to sue you because you didn't give them any meds at all, you know, now we've got these forced circumstances from back then where doctors were having to second guess what they were trying to do and to come up with a solution for hyperactivity. And again, goes back to the same exact thing you were talking about. You know, if children that are bored to death in school are going to absolutely rebel, and they're going to take it out in physical ways, which is what you described with that little child. If we don't channel their energy, if we're not inspiring children, if we don't have a curriculum that gives them a chance to explore, to be kids, to enjoy the physical work that, you know, and the physical realities and discoveries that we have and the sheer joy of climbing a tree, let alone all the rest of the stuff as we're talking about channeling their energy, helping them to focus their energy on something because they've got the energy, they're bored to death and saying, okay, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to just run all over the place. I'm going to knock everything over. So since 2003, where the first real consistent application of Ritalin and these kinds of drugs came into play, it was the beginning of where this whole idea of two things that occurred. Okay, this now seems to be an effective way of dealing with these kids that have the supposed hyperactivity. And then their broad-brushed approach, when you look at the real diagnosis, is a very broad-brushed approach that would include practically any child. So that we have kids that shouldn't be on any medication at all. And now, am I going to suggest for a moment that there aren't a small percentage of children who may need something to help them through a period of hyperactivity? Of course, but I got to think, and Donna, you know this to be true for all the things you know in your life like I do in mine. If we take the first approach, the first conservative approach, which would be nutrition, supplementation, we take a look at what's happening in their activities, we take a look at their life process, we take a look at what we're doing or not doing for them, with them, to them. If we don't do those things first, then we're not getting good baseline. Then if we're treating anything, we have no idea what we're treating, you know.
Right.
So just imagine all the way back in 2003, this process began, you know. Now you fast forward, and we'd be coming, you know, up to 10 years of this. There was no long-term research on what might happen with these drugs, which now have come to be a nightmare for parents. Especially because these are the children that are more likely to abuse other drugs if they get older, which is in itself by itself not only sad and sickening, but when we take a look at the OxyContin, Vicodin, especially OxyContin, and the addiction, which some have called in research centers looking at pain management as the defining 21st century epidemic of the United States, because we consume more here than we do almost anywhere else worldwide. So all of these things escalate from that point to every other thing that, talking about being concerned about looking at gateway drugs, well, now we're doing prescription drugs to get to other prescription gateway drugs that are ruining people's lives and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a statistic today where we do a lot of stuff with VA Medical. How many more people are committing suicide right now as we live and breathe because they have unresolved pain as an issue? How many children have unresolved pain that the parent doesn't even know about, but they can't express it because they're young? We have all sorts of things that are not being taken to baseline, just good common sense consensus. Before all of this stuff came about, all of our families lived and breathed on common sense and what we had available, because there was no such thing as a lot of pharmaceuticals around and anything else around that were going to get us over to the next level. We had to figure out practical, sensible things in order for that to come to pass. I mean, everybody I know had peanut butter and jelly pretty much at least once or twice a week. You know, now with all the peanut allergies, what the hell happened between the time when we're all young and now what's happening with today's generation? This is just another parallel viewpoint of this issue, not really looking at the cause, but looking at the symptom and insidiously placing our children at greater risk to become drug abusers and or to have adverse effects of these particular drugs that can make a child's life a total nightmare after the fact. So we got them to kind of kept settled down in school, and we've ruined their lives, and their future is nowhere to be found. That is sad.
I found it fascinating that Ritalin is classified by the Drug Enforcement Administration as a Schedule II narcotic, and that's the same classification as cocaine, morphine, amphetamines, and teenagers.
Crazy.
Looking for this stuff, and prescription medicine has just, I mean, here in the state of Washington, we have a major, major problem. The theft of prescription drugs and items that are available because the adults, so many adults, grandma, mom, dad, whatever, have these prescriptions. And if there are kids in the house and if they're wanting to do something, then they've got this underground. That's something that a lot of people don't understand. Teenagers, kids have an underground communication system that teachers often know nothing about.
That's true.
And this communication has been always there on one level or another, and it is almost insidious because the kids will communicate with each other. Oh, you can get this out of grandma's chest. Do you know of anybody that's on medication? People are observed by others. And this is something, it's sort of under the radar. Well, not anymore. Not anymore.
Exactly.
And it is of concern to the law enforcement agencies. We just had some things go on here in the state of Washington, and I'll digress for just a minute, with Ambien. And that is supposed to be treating insomnia, where people are out driving, adults are out driving vehicles, not even remembering that they got in a vehicle, they are driving. It's like they are sleepwalking. And they've gotten an accident. They have no memory. Incredible stories.
And you look back at those kinds of products with, when we look at Ambien, which is one of those sleep medications, or we look at that butterfly thing, you know, the butterfly comes, knocks you over the head, conks you out in bed, and then you wind up waking up at work and have no idea how you got there in your pajamas. You know, it's like, you know, instead of saying, wait a minute, what may be causing the issue with what happened to that person's situation that might be a muscular issue? How many times we have said to doctors who now are doing this for their patients on a regular basis, if you really want to be able to get a patient to relax and get to sleep, and women seem to unfortunately have this more than men because of the washout of minerals, have them take calcium, magnesium, and boron about an hour before bedtime. Most people have muscle contractions because they're not hydrated. They may be malnutrition. They're suffering from some degree of malnutrition or deficiencies. And take a look at that and see whether that can be a benefit, because what's happening is muscle stress, muscle tension, not that there's any stress in this world, right? By the time you go to bed, And they were absolutely blown away that they said, oh, my God, 75% of my patients within weeks were sleeping like a baby from using supplements as opposed to prescriptions with no side effects, of course. Thank you very much. And it was improving their health in other ways. I mean, it's not, and this is not to oversimplify it, but it's basic, common, real foundation stuff that we've always known for hundreds and maybe thousands of years, that we have abandoned or gotten away from a crazy, expedient society that's in a tailspin. And all of these things are, you know, nobody wants these. Most people that are involved in having these problems, they don't want those kinds of things in their lives. They wish there was another way. But if they're the primary authority, who's probably their medical doctor, who really doesn't know a lot about nutrition, and a lot of people, with all respect, are in the medical community is starting to realize they have to know more. That is just simple kind of basic work that will help us to offset this insidious spiral that we're in, the enormous expense, people's lives being lost, organs being damaged to the point where we don't have to worry about an army coming in and taking us over by force. There'll be so many people on kidney dialysis or waiting for a liver transplant that we won't have anybody to fight any kind of war. And not that war is a good thing. Unfortunately, as a Marine Corps veteran, a combat veteran, two rotations, Vietnam, I can tell you I know there's a better way. And I think the war really is for the dignity and honor and sanctity of somebody's real, robust health in their life. That's the war we should be fighting. And for the peace of mind that for our children and our parents and our grandparents, that we can actually live a healthier life by doing things that are just smarter, that just make more sense because they always have.
That is true. Lou, one of the points of information, and it was someone that was writing about Ritalin, they said, parents are never told, oh, by the way, once in a while a child dies simply by taking their prescribed medication.
Mm-hmm.
Or, by the way, children on stimulant medications have twice the future rate of drug abuse. Or, by the way, one-third of all children on these medications develop symptoms of obsessive-compulsive behavior within the first year. Now,
amazing,
to
right?
me, that is absolutely unacceptable.
Totally.
And I know with adults, it's so difficult. I have friends that they are terrified if they don't take these medications, and yet at the same time, and they have certain, you know, they have real physical conditions to deal with.
Sure.
The side effects are, as you said, destroying the organs. And one of the complaints that I have heard from caring physicians, good physicians really, really want to help their patients,
mm-hmm.
is that their challenge is, especially, you know, whether it's young, middle-aged, or elderly, it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
They wish they could do a chemistry evaluation to find out whether they should give a drop of something or a bucket of something. What is
mm-hmm.
needed? And almost every one of these physicians say, we want to really get away from having you on certain medications for the rest of your life, because if you stay in that patterning, you are going to have something within that's going to deteriorate, rot. It's going to compound problems phenomenally. You may not see it in one
exactly.
year or two, but mm-hmm. you might see it 10 years from now.
Yeah, and that's the insidious part, Donna, for sure. When you look at the backdrop of all these things and long-term effect, look at the developmental situation of a child's brain. We were talking about that initially, that part of the developmental brain,
right.
we do know now how adverse this approach in giving Ritalin to children is, because how many of those children, the statistic is enormous, and how many of those children develop obsessive compulsive behavior within the first year. That's a great trade-off, right, to get them to somehow calm down in school. Maybe if
mm-hmm.
we inspire them in school, we channel their energy, the things that were finally interesting. Maybe if we had a school and education system, by the time a child reaches 12 years, they actually balance a checkbook, know how to get the work done, know their responsibilities and accountabilities being, instead of being lost. It isn't their fault if that's the way they're taught. And if the system is only doing education by regurgitation and it doesn't allow phenomenal teachers to continue to inspire and motivate and encourage children to learn and to love learning and to channel the energy someplace where they're going to really, really become a totally great, you know, part of the society in their own way, then we're not going to have a sustainable future. And as long as the we keep supporting in every way that unfortunately does happen, this constant abuse of all these prescription medications, we are definitely headed in a very, very sad and sorrowful end, honestly. And our country was never built on the idea of not facing the reality of today. Not, you know, it doesn't force us to be in, you know, this ingenuity that we have, this resourcefulness that we always had from the beginning of the country being built, is being now squandered away. The skill sets are being lost, and that may be forever. And so that's why we all put our foot down. That's why we love educating. That's why we love resources. That's the reason why you do what you do, because we want people to know what they don't know. Because what they don't know in this situation cannot just hurt them. It can kill them, and it mm-hmm. can destroy their lives in many ways that if they are still alive. But now imagine a child going through all these changes and not being able to live a normal life at all, let alone a life that's prosperous. So.
Well, I think we have covered so much good information, Lou, and always it's a pleasure having you as a guest. For those of you listening, Lou Paradise, also with his staff, they put out a marvelous newsletter that gives you so much information regarding nutrition, wellness, and I think the more we can educate ourselves, the more we can be aware of how to empower ourselves when it comes to dealing with our children. And utilizing the knowledge, not just reading something out of a book, but really asking questions, going around, investigating. Just don't take what we're saying at just because you're hearing it. I want you to be able to explore. I want you to use your library. I want you to go to different seminars and programs. I want you to be open to learning and asking, what can you do for yourself? What can you do for your family, the children? How can you contribute to the betterment of our society by improving just your own space? It makes a big difference. And when you start thinking for yourself and you start asking questions, that's when changes occur. Now, you can go to toprican.com, T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N.com, or topicalbiomedics.com. Check out their information there. You're going to find the resources are fabulous. Lou, I want to thank you for being my guest today, and I know you're enjoying continued success with your company. And as always, it's a pleasure having you because we can always share good information with people, and that's a joy.
And thank you as well, and it's an absolute joy and a blessing for us, and we're privileged and honored to be able to serve. And thank you for the privilege of doing that again today with you, Donna.
It's a delight. Lou Paradise, Topperson, check it out. It's a phenomenal product, but also check out the information that they give you for free from their own research and dedication to making this world a much better place to live in. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson, pain relief and healing cream. Topperson relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
An avatar is coming to the Seattle area. Lovingly known as Yogi Raj, he will be doing these upcoming events. Saturday, August 25th, 6 to 8 p.m., Healing and Enlightenment Workshop. This is free, an interactive event. Donations accepted. Location, Asian Resource Center, 1025 South King Street, Seattle, Washington, 98104. Tuesday, August 28th, Yogi Raj will be teaching and sharing his knowledge in a very special class at the Ascension Into Life Foundation. Visit ascensionintolifefoundation.org for more details. Friday, August 31st to Monday, September 3rd, Kundalini Kriya Yoga of Babaji Retreat with Yogi Raj. Location, Fort Warden, Port Townsend. Each of these events will offer you the opportunity to learn about the ancient Himalayan knowledge for self-mastery called Kundalini Kriya Yoga of Babaji. For more information, visit siddhanath.org. You can register for the event through northwestevents.eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E.com, or call for reservations 909-907-9605.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in if you would like to chat with me today, which would be my delight, is 888 888- 727-6008, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, just let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can ask me a question about anything that's of importance to you. So 888-627-6008. Well, if you're an entrepreneur, what's the best country to be in? I bet you most of you would automatically respond to the U.S. Well, let me share with you some information about some countries that if you're thinking of doing something on an entrepreneurial basis, they do not have so much red tape that your hope or opportunity may never manifest. Number one country is Singapore. Can you believe that? Singapore is the number one place. New Zealand is number two. U.S. is number three. Denmark is number four. The U.K. is number five. Ireland is number six. Canada is number seven. Australia is eight. Norway is nine. And Iceland is number 10. I bet you that surprised you. Yes, that's really something. Now, you know what? If you're unemployed, the countries that assist people while they're unemployed, there are 10 of those. The first one is Norway. If you're down and out, apparently Norway is number one. That's where you want to be. You better make sure you have long johns, too, because it's getting pretty cold there. Spain is number two. France is number three. Germany is number four. Canada is five. Turkey is six. Japan is seven. South Korea is eight. I'll tell you, that one surprised me. And number nine is the UK, and number 10 is the U.S. But I'll tell you what, the best way to deal with unemployment is to find some activity that you can put yourself into that's going to make you feel like you've still got a purpose. One of the most discouraging things for people to get stuck in is to not be active. I don't care if you're doing volunteer work. You put yourself out there, and by golly, some way, somehow, you're going to make a connection with somebody that's going to be saying, wow, you're a person I want on my team. I want you to be a part of what I've got. I know a woman who was out of work, but she volunteered for a particular business. It was a nonprofit organization, and she was so good that they said, please, would you come and work for us full time? We have never had anybody that's as skilled as you. Well, she didn't really want to do that, but she was offered the opportunity. She made the choice. And so she set a standard for herself, and by demonstrating that standard, she was interested. The people with her were interested. Oh, and by the way, if you want to evade taxes, maybe I shouldn't talk about this. Anyway, I will. These nations have cultivated tax laws that are pretty lax because they want to boost their economy. So here are some nations or areas that you may, if you're wanting to do this, might consider. I don't know that the benefits would be that good. Number one place is Luxembourg. Number two is Cook Islands. Number three is the Channel Islands. Number four is Bermuda. Number five is Dubai. Number six is Liechtenstein. Number seven is the British Virgin Islands. Number eight is Andorra. Number nine is Vanuatu. And number 10 is Switzerland. Now, that one wasn't a surprise. But some of the others, I was just totally unaware of. So there's just a few points of information, miscellaneous stuff to share with you. And if you want to give me a buzz today, give me a call at 888-627-6008. And I wanted to let you know about the people that are coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with a woman that after I read her material, yes, I do read the material of my guests, Gertrude Machi is her name. She wrote a book about her life. Now, this woman is a multimillionaire today, but her life wasn't that way in the beginning. In fact, she's from Africa. Her book is titled Born on the Continent, and her story is a gripping one, and we're going to be sharing it with you tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about Mark Twain. Now, up here in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot going on with programming about this wonderfully fascinating man that still captivates people today. Tom Sawyer, Huxton, all kinds of characters he developed, and they're loved even more in today's world than they were when he was alive. So Ira Fitzgerald is going to be with us. Mark Twain, Three Encounters. This individual has done a lot of research. And we've got so many other things that's going to be going on, and we've got a wonderful grouping of guests coming up next week, and I'll give you some information about that, too. And, of course, you can always go in and check on my website for the upcoming guests. And here at BBS, we also have little bits of bio with each one of the guests, information on them, and you'll be able to find out what you need to know there. So don't hesitate to check out the show information. All you have to do is push that little button. Well, I wanted to share with you just a cute thought. Wherever you go, it seems like people always, if you bring up something about an attorney, they always have something to say about an attorney. And this was a situation where the prosecutor was relentless as he was badgering the witness that was in front of him. And he said to the witness, or asked them, what did the accused do when he learned the jewelry was part of a stolen hoard? Now, it's very dramatic when he asked that question. The witness replied, he did what any honest man would do. The attorney said, and what was that? The witness said, I didn't think you'd know. Yes, we have attitudes. And it's one of those things about the law. That'll never go away. That's always, always going to be the case. Well, I wanted to share a story with you about kids, since we were talking about the effects of drugs and what we need to remember when we're dealing with children. By the way, children are supposed to be wiggly, believe it or not. They come equipped that way. Well, sometimes when you can get them involved in something, it enables them to learn discipline. And part of childhood is learning discipline so that you can become a successful adult. Well, Tommy Tomlinson wrote an article. He's a man who has interviewed all kinds of sports figures and covered all kinds of phenomenal games like the NBA All-Star Game, the Super Bowl, and, you know, just a whole bunch of them. But he was given this one assignment. Now, here's a guy that's done all of this really exciting stuff. He was given the assignment to cover the National Spelling Bee. You may think, oh, what happened? Did somebody demote him? Well, at the time, he was working for a newspaper in Charlotte, North Carolina, and one of the children in a local area had finished 12th the year before for the National Spelling Bee, and he went back for another run, and he really wanted to win. So that was the reason that he was put on this case, if you will, of interviewing and seeing what really goes on. Now, before the spelling bee started, the Grand Hyatt Hotel was just packed with these kids. I mean, this is really, really a big competition. And these kids were busy. They were involved in something. He just watched them. He said some were reading, some were playing chess, some were studying in their rooms, being tested by their parents or whoever was working with the kids. And he said, you can qualify for this spelling bee competition through the eighth grade. And a lot of these kids had won their local and regional spelling bee contests year after year, and they wanted to be in the national. I have to tell you, I saw the National Spelling Bee for the first time last year. It was downright exciting. It really was. It was just amazing. Now, 265 kids made the cut. They were going to be in the capital in Washington, D.C., and there was a 13-year-old eighth grader. His brother had won the National Spelling Bee 2 years before, and he really wanted to win himself. And there was just so much going on, and of course, you have to listen, you have to spell the words, you can sound it out, but once you spell it out, that's it. If you don't get it right, you don't get a second chance. Well, this young man, his name was Akshay. His last name was, I mispronounced it, it's Akshay Boudiga. And this was a very intense young man. And he had to spell a word, alupkoid. Now, I have never even heard of it. But this kid was expected to know it. And it means like a fox. But in his head, he was seeing two different spellings. And he had a dilemma. He didn't know which one was right. Now, he had 2 minutes to spell the word. He asked for the definition. He asked the pronouncer to use the word in a sentence. And it was obvious he was stalling because he was trying to pick between the two versions in his head. His hands were jammed in his pockets, and he was standing so straight, his knees were locked. He started to really feel lightheaded. He asked for the person that was pronouncing the word to say the word again, said it again, and finally, this kid was so stressed, he collapses. Well, of course, the audience just went, whoa. It was just very emotional. So they stopped the clock. The other spellers that he had fallen down in front of, they leaned over, asked him if he was okay. He lifted his head, waited a few seconds, he got up. He took the placard, which had the number 25, that was his number, twisted it back around so it's right in the right place, put his glasses back on. He went to the microphone, spelled out the word, A-L-O-P-E-C-O-I-D, and he got it right. He got a standing ovation from everyone. Well, he ended up finishing second in the national spelling bee. Now, he was 13 when he did this. Very much a dramatic moment in his life. He's 22 years old now. He graduated from Duke in biomedical engineering, and he's headed to grad school at Stanford in the fall. Now, if you want to, you can look up Spelling Bee Faint on YouTube, and you'll find Akshay's dramatic moment right there. Do you know over 1.2 million people have watched this? Now, they may not ever know his name, but by golly, he said all he could think of when he was down on the floor is that he had two spellings. He had to pick one. And you know what he learned and what he shares with people? He had to trust himself. He had to have the confidence to get up in front of that microphone and to give the spelling as he knew it. And he did. It was correct. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'll have more good things to share. Don't forget, you can give me a buzz, too, at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. 1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you would like to give me a buzz, is 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a quote with you by Walter Savage Landor. He said, "Those who are quite satisfied sit still and do nothing. Those who are not quite satisfied are the sole benefactors of the world." It brings to mind a story that was shared with me by a teenager who came in for some counseling. This was a few years back, and she was just a doll, and she was about 14 years old. This young lady sat in front of me, and she was just terribly, terribly distressed. Who was she distressed about? Well, it was her mother. Now, all of us as teenagers, we all have issues with our families. But to my surprise, her issue was not one that I typically heard from teenagers. Her issue was that her mother was on welfare, and her mother would talk about affirmations and having positive thoughts and doing all that kind of good stuff, which I firmly believe in. But her mother would do nothing to change her habits, her life circumstances. Now, this young kid, she had a part-time job, believe it or not. At 13, she was working part-time because there was no money. Her mother was on welfare. She couldn't afford school supplies or anything else, so she was working for some people, and they were paying her for the work. She was very diligent. She was a straight-A student in school. And I think the reason she came to me, basically, was because she was upset with herself. She'd gotten very, very angry with her mother. She'd gotten angry with her mother because her mother would sit every day in a rocking chair. Now, her mother was not 70 or 80 years old. Her mother was late 30s, early 40s. There was no excuse for this. But her mother would sit in this rocking chair and say, "Well, God will provide. God will provide." One day, which happened just a short time before she came to see me, she blew up. She said, "Have you ever heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves?" She said, "Mom, you have been on welfare for years. You get that check every month. You do not change anything. You're not stupid. You could get a job. You could work. You could do more things for yourself, and you're not doing it." Well, her mother just kept rocking. So she really lost it. She got very, very upset with her mother and had a very negative outpouring of emotion. And again, I think that's why she came to see me. And we talked about this, and I tried to give her a different spin on the experience. I said, "I'd like for you to go back and apologize to your mom that you realized you were rude. But I want you to realize something, too, that you are surpassing anything that your mother could possibly have desired for you. You're an excellent student. You're working. You are a thinker. You're a planner. You can see things with very, very strong clarity." And I said, "You need to be aware that perhaps you should be very grateful for your mother, because she is showing you what you don't want." And this sort of caused her a little bit of a frustration. And she said, "But she could change. She could change." I said, "Don't worry about your mom. You take care of yourself. Your mother is responsible for her behavior, for the choices that she makes in life, as you are in yours. She represents what you do not want in your life. Honor your mother in the way of respect, but understand you don't have to be, do, or have what she's got. You can be your own person." And this young woman, I call her a young woman because she was so mature beyond her years, she was able to take that information. She walked out of my office feeling like she had dominion over her space. And she no longer was really angry with her mother, but instead looked at it as the leverage of experience that would enable in her, would enable her to surpass anything that anyone around her had even dreamed of experiencing. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. We all go through learning curves. No one is going to ever escape them. But it's what you do with them. And sometimes what we look at as being so very, very bad is the very thing that we need to elevate us into a whole new level of positive experience. It all depends on what you do with what happens in your life, what your attitudes and actions are. So today, make an affirmation for yourself that you're going to have the best, you're going to be the best, and everyone you come in contact with is going to delight in the light of your uniqueness and genius. They're going to say, shine it on me. I'm ready. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.